In our text this morning, we're going to see Jesus and two of his boys, otherwise known as angels, show up at Abraham's house. We know this is Jesus because you will see that one of the visitors is called the Lord. As Jesus and the boys get ready to leave, the scriptures tell us, the angels looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" The fact that God is going to tell Abraham what he is about to do shows how close the relationship between them is. "For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." You see, God is just. He's going to investigate before meting out judgment. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "O Lord, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if there are 30 found there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way, and when he finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Genesis 18:17-33. It is impossible to ignore the persistence of Abraham as he stands in front of God. I want to get back to the standing in front of God thing. But Abraham is standing there in front of God praying that God will not destroy the pagan city of Sodom. He starts the conversation by asking God, "What if there's 50 good guys in the city?" Well, there wasn't, so Abraham keeps whittling it down until he gets to 10. And he finally goes back home when he realizes there aren't going to be any righteous people in the city, except for 4 who are Abraham's relatives, and they're a little sketchy. Think of what was about to happen like this. When a woman has breast cancer, the surgeon will cut out the cancer and leave the healthy flesh. But if there is no healthy flesh, he's going to zap her body with radiation before it spreads to other parts of the body. God was going to zap Sodom and Gomorrah before its cancer spread to other cities. Abraham did not stop asking at 40 or 30 or 20 and then say, "Well, I guess it's in the Lord's hands now." No, the verse tells us Abraham still stood before the Lord. Abraham shows us we must contend in prayer for lost people. Sometimes their eternal destiny depends on our prayers. There is a sense in which all this negotiating was in vain because in the end, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. There weren't even 10 righteous people in the city, as I said before. But Abraham was unwilling to give up. Not giving up was Abraham's philosophy of prayer. Sometimes our philosophy of prayer is to quit when things get tough. When hard times come, we stop praying and ask whether or not there is a God. This is called atheism. Some come against hard times and decide they have no idea if there's a God. This is called agnosticism. Some see suffering and become confused. Then they decide, well, maybe there's a good God and there's a bad God, and the bad God is winning right now. This is called dithyism, as in dithering. Some see suffering and decide they could do it better than God, and this is called egotism. Some see suffering and say, God has no intention of intervening, no matter how stinking hard I pray. This is called deism. Deism originated in the Age of Reason in the 17th century England. During this time, people became skeptical about the invisible nature of faith, and they wanted scientific explanations about the world. Deists asserted that reason and not faith could prove whether God existed and whether or not he actually answered prayer. Evidence, they said, showed that after God created the world, he went on a permanent vacation. This partly means he doesn't answer prayer. By the late 18th century, deism became the dominant religious attitude among Europe's educated classes. Upper-class Americans began to adopt a softer form of deism around this time called moralistic therapeutic deism. This ideology permeates most modern-day sermons and modern-day worship songs. Moralistic therapeutic deism is pretty simple. In short, it means don't worry, be happy. But if you are worried and you are not happy, God, who is like a genie, will appear and fix all your problems. You see, God wants you happy, and if you're not, he'll make sure you are, even though he does prefer to stay in his bottle. Obviously, Abraham does not believe in any form of deism for one second, because as the scripture says, he is still standing before the Lord. He is still praying before the Lord. If Abraham believed that God wouldn't answer his prayer, believe me, he wouldn't have stayed there so long. He had a lot to do. I'll bet several of us have had subtle deistic thoughts from time to time, especially when it seems like our prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. We look around and see troubles going without solutions, so we go, God, are you really there? Have you gone on vacation? I've seen people who get so frustrated and defeated by these thoughts that they bitterly decide God does not answer prayer. I do get why people feel this way, and I mean this in no sacrilegious way, but there are times that I could just scream out of frustration by God's apparent silence. There have been times in my life where I believe maybe God's just too busy to answer my prayers. After all, he's got the whole world to look after. He doesn't have time to pay attention to little old me. The psalmist expressed similar frustration when he wrote, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you pay no attention during times of trouble?" It isn't that God is absent, but sometimes he just feels absent. Maybe if you've been praying for our church, you felt like this. Same. But I found some encouragement this week from a devotional that Charity sent from our Daily Bread. And I'm going to read, well, I'm going to say the whole thing, but not really. I think I eliminated a paragraph. This is too good not to share. It goes like this. After Lam Wai Chan moved from his native Singapore to pastor a church in Japan, he panicked. The church had barely 20 members. In a nation known as a missionary graveyard, where about 1% of the nation's people are Christian and many churches sit empty, Lam felt like I was taking over a sinking ship. Crying out to God, he sensed the answer, offer the church back to me. Rather than update the worship music, Wai Chan asked members to pray for their needs, for family members, their friends who didn't know Jesus. And slowly, the church doubled in size. This is exactly what Abraham was doing. He was praying for the lost. Back to the article. Their faithful praying is a living biblical model of how to build a community in Jesus, first pray. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Paul wrote, present your request to God, and do all of this without worry about anything. In this way, we offer our ministries, churches, and programs back to God. We may plant seeds and water them, but as the apostle said, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. As Paul said, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Let us prayerfully give our churches back to him, then watch them grow. God is answering prayers for our church, for our situations, for our families, even when it doesn't seem like it. God is always at work. He has not gone on vacation. When we ask ourselves, why isn't God answering me? Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 gives us hope. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Oh, God's arm can reach us just fine, and he can hear us just fine. Sometimes, if it seems like God is not listening, it's because sin has put us on mute. God's arm is not too short to save, and God is certainly not hard of hearing. God can hear our prayers. There's only one thing that keeps him from hearing us, and that's sin. Therefore, we have to keep a clean slate with the Lord. But as you know, that's hard work. Honestly, there are days I'd rather just sit around on the couch and binge watch Netflix than fully commit myself to prayer. We whine, it's too hard. But what is going to happen if you just sit there on the couch? Well, you might find a stale piece of popcorn and maybe a quarter, but that's about it. Frankly, you're not really praying while you're looking for something good to watch on YouTube. Our devices and apps are huge hindrances to our prayer. When we put down our devices and truly pray, God will hear. Jeremiah 29:11. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Did you know prayer is mostly a conversation? We see this with Abraham's negotiations with God about the righteous people in Sodom. Abraham says something, then God says something back. Abraham responds, and God responds. That's called a conversation. But we have gotten this idea that prayer is a one-way street where we do all the talking. Can you imagine being God with this style of prayer that we typically do? It's like talking to people who never come up for air in a one-sided conversation, and it's exhausting. We do like the sound of our own voices when we pray. And we think we have to barrage God with a lot of words like a verbal super soaker. Sometimes, to understand how God is answering our prayers, we have to be quiet. God does answer prayer. The problem is, sometimes we're too loud, and sometimes we don't even like the answer, so we say God didn't answer it. Even so, God is answering prayer. The problem is, so often, we're not in the right place spiritually. We're offsides. If you've ever played team sports, you've heard the coach remind you to play your position. It means stay put and don't wander away from your assigned post. There is a reason the coach places each person in certain positions. It's because if you're where you're supposed to be, then you can win. But if you wander off, it weakens the team and allows for mistakes and scoring by the other team. Worse yet, if you're out of position, you could lose the game for your whole team. So often we are out of position spiritually and wonder why God isn't hearing our prayers. We're out of position if we allow sin to continue in our lives. We're out of position if we spend zero time in prayer and Bible study. There are many things that can cause us to be out of position. If we want to experience God's answer to prayer, we must feel his presence, and to do that, we must get into position. Our text tells us Abraham still stood before the Lord. He was in position, standing before the Lord. Notice he wasn't standing still before the Lord. he was still standing before the Lord. And that's a big difference. One is passive and the other is active. Abraham was not going to budge until he got an answer. You might be saying, well, that sounds a little sassy to me. Well, perhaps, but remember the widow and the judge in Luke 18? And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. As I said, part of our problem is we give up too soon. God likes persistence. I don't know why, but he does. The widow was persistent. Abraham was persistent. And we need to be persistent. We must keep knocking and seeking. And then we need to stand back and let God open the door. The youth group at Wheaton loved to play hide and seek in the dark. They loved to play their games in the dark. It was annoying because I don't like to play games in the dark. But I did it because it made them happy. Well, one dark night, I was looking for this kid whose name was John Muir, and I couldn't find him, but I was persistent. I kept calling his name and looking, but still, no John. I finally got real quiet and got into a better position. It was only after I shut my big mouth and got in the right position that I could hear him trying not to laugh, and I found him. This is true with our relationship with God, except God isn't hiding. When we are quiet and we get into the right position, we are much more likely to sense him, to hear him, to know he is there, and see that he really is answering our prayers.